Yeah, that's right. It's another episode of Hit or Quit. We're back, Celebronauts. We're here to talk about the penultimate hour of Stars on Mars, which featured a very special rescue mission. And you'd have to call the rescue mission in for me if this woman didn't want to show up for the Stars on Mars podcast. It's the co-host of Hit or Quit, Jenny Autumn.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but daddy's home.
Shaddy
daddy, baby.
Daddy, who we had debated whether or not he was even involved
Didn't
with the production in any way. That
it
would be, I thought they just bought cameos from him. And ultimately, yeah. No, Shaddy daddy is here.
Now, here's the thing. He is here. He was live in the flesh in this episode. That does not mean that the majority of the little messages that we got from him throughout the season weren't still recorded in the same afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
That might have been, you know,
sure.
Like I think that he might have still only had like 3 days of work on this show.
But look, we will not complain about William Shatner here. I think William Shatner is in his 90s.
Yes, which is he looks insanely good. And mm-hmm. like his
92.
What is his regimen? Like, I need to know what he does at all. If I were one of the Celebronauts.
Good jeans or good docs?
Exactly. Like, I need to know if he comes in. I'm spending every minute finding out what he eats, what his routine is, skincare. Because this man is not giving 90s to me. Like he just isn't. It's wild. So that is what I would be using my time in the hab with Shaddy Daddy.
Okay.
I need to know.
All right. So it was a one last mission here before we get to our final episode. Sad to say, Marshawn Lynch ultimately was the person to go home. We will talk all of that through. Jenny, can you believe we are only 1 week away from Stars on Mars being over?
It's, you know, I feel like we've been covering this show for a while. Like, it's been like the whole summer.
It's so bizarre because I feel like Claim to Fame just started. Can't believe it's over.
Yes.
Stars on Mars, I think, started 3 weeks before. I feel like that it's been on for a year.
Like months and months. I feel like this has been all of 2023. And that's not really necessarily a knock on Stars on Mars. I think it's just like,
but
it
kind
just feels
of.
Like, it's like a little bit. I will say, look at us. We're finishing a show.
Yeah. We're going to finish the show.
I feel like it's been a while.
Look,
it's been a while.
We stayed with it. Look, Stars on Mars, certainly. And we could give like the little bit of like the 1 week early eulogy for Stars on Mars. I think that Stars on Mars brought camp. We love that. That's a signature of like any Robin Jenny show. Can't take yourself too seriously. It's got to be bringing the camp. It's got to be bringing the fun. But I think that like what we learned is like we do kind of like a game, and a game that like we kind of understand like what the objective is.
Yes. We want to know that there's, you know, that there's a purpose and there's some sort of competition that makes sense or meaning. And you know, I would like challenges to, if there's challenges for them, at least to be watchable.
Right.
Which, you know, I feel like at times Stars on Mars did not deliver on that front.
No. So not a perfect show, Stars on Mars.
I think if you're like weighing it against some of the other things that we've done, like, you know, you can understand why we saw this one through. It was doing enough in all of those areas. I still don't understand what the point of this is.
Yeah,
and what they win.
You're talking about this podcast or Stars on Mars?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm having a real like existential moment for this podcast. It's like, what are we doing here?
We cover weird reality shows. Like, I guess it's sort of like a little bit of like a rodeo where it's like, you know, what's the worst a reality show can be before we have to turn it off?
Yeah. Let's see how bumpy the ride can get until we get bucked right off. So, yeah, and I'm just glad that we saw this through, because I know that it can, you know, part of the perils of Hit or Quit here is
we
like,
took that 1 week off, Jenny, and people were like, oh, I guess you're out on Stars on Mars.
Well, here's the thing. We pissed a lot of people off when we quit Farmer Wants a Wife. Listen, I saw like three angry reviews of people that were just mad that we stopped covering.
Oh, we got angry Apple Podcast reviews?
Yeah. Just right, well, like, I can't believe.
Then we need positive. Then we need to make it right.
Out.
Okay. Balance out the Apple Podcast feed. Go to robinswebsite.com/hit-or-quit-feed.
Yeah.
And robinswebsite.com/hit-or-quit-feed for that, because we need your help now.
Yeah. And these were a little while ago, but listen, we got to drown those complaints down because we finished a show and this show was better than Farmer Wants a Wife.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I had a good enough time with this. It was funny. It was a light and easy watch for the most part.
Yeah.
But I think I'm ready to see it through.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that we will ever see, I mean, the crazy thing is that like I never thought that we would see Special Forces : World's Toughest Test ever again. Mm-hmm. I thought that was absolutely never, ever, ever going to happen again. And here we are. We're going to get a season two of that. Do you think, because there was a talk in this episode of Stars of Mars for the next people that come, and we can obviously elaborate on that.
Oh, interesting. I didn't even think
about
that.
Will we see a season two of Stars on Mars?
Well, I wonder if the Special Forces : World's Toughest Test, you know, I think it got really big ratings its first night. And I wonder if maybe it got like a easy green light, and maybe that the people over at Fox knew that there was some like writers strike issues on the like horizon, and certainly actors strike issues on the horizon. So maybe that was like an easy yes for Special Forces World's Toughest Test. Like, I don't know what the budget was on that show. I can't imagine it was like so much. I mean, like, what did they do? They got like helicopters once in a while.
Yeah. And the rest of the time.
How much does poison gas cost?
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know how much all of that stuff is worth. But in terms of like a set, it was bare bones. It was like they were on cots. Whereas like Stars on Mars, like, I mean,
I think it's a bigger budget on Stars on Mars.
Definitely a bigger budget. First of all, you got to pay for William Shatner alone. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's probably
how much is Bill Billingsley's quote?
I can't imagine it's as much as the Shatty Daddy.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it went up. I'm sure he got a raise for season two. But like the Hab is like pretty high tech looking. Like the set seems a lot more elaborate. So I think the budget is probably a little bit higher. But like maybe now that they've established this, wherever this is, you know, hanging out in Australia, are they saying, well, we've got this built now, like, we just maybe need to pay some new.
Yeah, they've already got it ready to go. And I also feel like
it
that
could be happening.
Based on in this episode, they told the Celebronauts, hey, it's Mother's Day, which means that the ending of filming of this was approximately like 2 weeks before it went on the air. Is that right, Jenny?
It must be, because when did we start this? Early June?
It was the first week of June. So
yeah,
I think that
that's wild.
That this was like a really quick turnaround. So it seems like a kind of show where they can like get a season out quick if they need to.
Yeah, and that's impressive to me, because I feel like, you know, it's pretty well produced. You know, there's some things that I've quibbled with, but that I think it's really, really, you know, the fact that it was like 2 weeks of filming, mm-hmm. and then like 2 weeks later, it was already starting to air. Like, they would have had to do some quick work on putting this together. But I'm glad that we finally got a marker for when this was, because I felt like there was like a lot, the very fact that all of like the Scandoval stuff was like being discussed, I was like, what? Felt like that just happened. How is this being talked about on the show? Well, it just turns out that this was literally only filmed like a month before it started airing. So that cleared that up.
Okay. So I'm just trying to see what the ratings are. I think the ratings have not been super strong for Stars on Mars. The ratings are down to, 0.82 million viewers for this episode of Stars on Mars last night. It was up against the 3-hour Bachelorette finale.
Yeah. And okay, So I don't understand how to read ratings. So I never look at ratings because it's literally like reading math to me. I don't understand it. But yeah. Unless someone says, this is good, this is bad.
Yeah. So let me just tell you what it was on up against. Okay.
Okay.
Just,
okay.
So, all right. Yeah, so at 8 o'clock on Monday night, The Bachelorette had the biggest rating. 3 million people were watching the hour one of The Bachelorette. Okay.
And that's just like, you know, that's brand recognition yeah. there. Like,
over
that's
on
not
CBS.
That is a more quality show.
Okay. The Neighborhood. 2.65 million people were watching an episode of The Neighborhood. Okay. On NBC, 3.13 million people were watching American Ninja Warrior.
Oh, I mean, was Taryn watching it? Because I feel like Taryn might have been watching something else. I think mm-hmm. Taryn was watching feeds last night.
Yeah.
Maybe he had it on in the background just to give them the...
Right.
The view.
And then ultimately, something on the CW called Son of a Critch was on.
Oh, that's a Canadian show.
And it was got 0.4 million
Why
viewers.
Why is that on the CW?
Stars on Mars is doubling the audience of Son of a Critch at this point.
I would hope so. That is like literally a Canadian show. I think it's set in Newfoundland. My one of my best friends, Critch is not a very common last name. One of my best friends is from Newfoundland and her last name is Critch. So
yeah.
I always think
Son of a Critch.
Why is it on CW?
I don't know. It's a very popular series in Canada, allegedly. According to Jenny,
Canadian,
and also
for sure, isn't it? Yes.
From the executive producer of Schitt's Creek, he's 11 going on 70. It's like a young Sheldon.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay. People are like, we came to hear the
CW
Stars
just,
on Mars cover.
No, this is we're just
nobody's
talking.
Saying that. I don't know. We're just vibing. Okay, but that
we're
just giving you some sense of like, yeah, is there going to be more Stars on Mars? That's the conversation we're having right now. Is there going to be Stars on Mars season two? And then
I feel like if they have nothing else coming down the hopper.
Right. Right. For Fox, then at 9 o'clock, MasterChef, which is celebrating its 250th episode, then had worse ratings. So I don't know. Oh. But it was at nine o'clock.
It's summer. It's late summer. I just like, are people watching a ton of TV? Is Monday not the right night? I don't know. I just don't understand.
Yeah.
I hope that, you know, because having Claim to Fame and Stars on Mars on at the same time, like, that was tricky. Mm-hmm. I didn't enjoy that. So if it comes back, maybe like, I don't know, test drive another night.
Yeah.
Like maybe Monday, if there's always going to be a Bachelor franchise, because Bachelor's on like 365 days a year. Like it does not take.
Yeah.
Anytime.
So I think it's worthwhile to talk about, like, could Stars on Mars season two maybe be salvaged in some ways? We can continue talking about that over the next 2 weeks. We will talk about the finale coming up next week, although the Claim to Fame mm-hmm. finale is also going to be Monday night. So maybe we get to the Stars on Mars finale maybe on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, Claim to Fame is taking precedence, okay? Yeah. I think everyone is way more on the edge of their seat to find out which of the four remaining people win that show than deciding who wins.
We'll do power rankings. We'll do it, okay?
We will.
All right.
We should.
Jenny, we're down to our final five here on Mars. Or actually, it was the final six to start off this episode. And so... we start to see people are starting to like gear up towards the end of their journey. As you mentioned, people are going to start to leave some stuff behind. Anything notable that you felt like that the Celebronauts were leaving behind?
Yeah, so this was okay. So we get the announcement that we knew about that there's no more base commander and everyone's going to participate in all the missions. And so they get given an activity that was supposed to be a duty. They need to do a show and tell where they each grab an item and show the rest of them what they're leaving behind. Because I guess this is a thing. Astronauts leave their mark in space. And so we go around the circle and everyone shows off their item. It was very elementary school. And except for, I'm pretty sure, what did Marshawn have, like an empty bottle of Henny? Like, was that was Hennessy, right?
I love Marshawn Lynch so much.
He's the best.
You know, I'm glad he made it 11 episodes into Stars on Mars, because I feel like that he was a big part of the charm of the show.
Absolutely. Like, I don't know if I could have kept going if he had gone as early as, like, Richard Sherman did. Mm-hmm. Because he, you know, he was just always giving us some sort of moments. We're looking for the weird, the wacky, the absurd on these shows. And if we don't have that, what are we doing? So right. Marshawn was like MVP of giving us moments. And
you know what?
And,
he was the MVP of the whole show.
He really was. He really was. So I'm glad that, you know, if we're only going to go one episode without him. And for all we know, maybe there is some sort of component from the extracted Celebronauts in the finale. We don't know. Maybe. I didn't expect Shaddy Daddy to show up in the penultimate episode. So here we are. Anyway, Marshawn, I'm almost positive I'm looking up the like a picture of a Hennessy bottle to get the shape right. I think what he was holding up was an almost empty Hennessy bottle. And I think they're like, is that empty? And he said, I'm going to leave them a swallow. So I guess there's just like his the last little bits of Henny
future,
in a bottle.
Celebronauts. Yeah.
I hope that it was never like drank straight out of the bottle, because to me that bottom bit is all backwash.
Yeah, but I feel like, does the alcohol kill anything bad?
That's a good question. I don't know science, but I guess it just depends on like how much alcohol versus like bacteria in someone's saliva.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's get some of our listeners to help us out with that.
Yeah. Can you let us know? Like, I think it probably depends on when you take the swig. Like, if it was an early
what's the proof?
Drink,
right?
And then the rest of the alcohol like took its time and you know dealt with it. But like if Marshawn had just like taken a sip and then just left a tiny little bit left, I feel like that bottom bit is probably still gross.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. Where did they get the Hennessy?
I think that they probably gave Marshawn whatever he wanted just to not leave the hab.
Yeah, please
and stick it out
please
for 17 days. So yeah. We saw a little bit of Marshawn and Portia. They had such an interesting relationship all through the show. I like he called her his bougie aunt.
Yeah, he says Portia's like his bougie auntie, and but then like Portia later in the episode calls him like her baby brother. So it's like it's just definitely some sort of familial relationship. This was the first time that Marshawn actually says like, I really like Portia. She's cool, because like he's like that person that like is always kind of like ribbing you, you know, and so it's like, you don't know if that's like his love language or if like he doesn't like you. And it seems now that we've gotten the confirmation that he really does like Portia, which I assumed that was the case. But it's nice to get that confirmation, because sometimes when somebody's all jokes, you sometimes don't know like how they truly feel. Like if that person is just constantly speaking in like sarcasm font, you don't know their true feelings.
He doesn't break character, Marshawn.
No. He's there for fun. And I think that he doesn't show his vulnerable side too much. But it's there.
Yeah. All right. So we also get an announcement that there is going to be no more base commander, no more mission specialist. Okay. Things are going to be different here in the home stretch. The game has changed.
Yes. And you know, and that would make sense, because at what point, like, you can't get down there needed to be a different structure to get the last few people and to determine who the brightest star in the galaxy was going to be. So, and I mean, it's still unclear what's going to happen at the very, very end. It seems kind of like a final immunity challenge type thing, but, this challenge is more about splitting. We got six people left. We're going to split them into two. And there's basically going to be a safe team and an unsafe team. And that's how we're moving forward for this next extraction.
Yeah. So in today's episode, we got the word, okay, they need to go on a rescue mission. Now, you and I said last week, if it was the rad dog that needed to be rescued, we weren't even going to do a podcast.
If you are
listening to the podcast, you know it was not the rad dog. So they had to go out and split up into two teams to end up doing this mission. And The teams end up being, interestingly, not the big three.
Yes.
Not the trio of ultimately Adam and Portia and Tinashe.
Yes. And we get, you know, the buildup that these three are very close. They're all always talking about each other and how they're very close. But I think it was actually Tinashe who speaks up and made the initial teams and said, me, Portia, Marshawn, and then Kat, Paul, and Adam. Kat seems very excited about this team. And so mm-hmm. that basically locks it in. So I don't know. At this point, they didn't know that it was going to be one team would be safe from extraction and the other one would be up for it. So perhaps if they had known that information ahead of time, maybe Tinashe, Portia, and Adam. But maybe that was strategic. Maybe she was thinking,
if all three of
us lose, then one of us is going for sure. So maybe that was strategy on Tinashe's part, being like, hey, that could be what happened, and this is the best way to ensure that all three of us stay. But it didn't seem like they really knew how this was going to play out. You just had to divide yourself into two teams.
Jenny, as we're talking through the strengths and weaknesses of Stars on Mars, I think that we both agree on then the biggest weakness of Stars on Mars happens to be the tasks that are often not the most exciting things. In this episode, the teams had to find satellites, and then the satellites had to be put in order based on the planets. And mm-hmm. I feel like that the tasks that were like maybe a little bit more interesting were sort of like when Marshawn Lynch had the flamethrower, that maybe there was like something that was like a little bit more exciting. I felt like that rearranging the satellites was a little bit not super interesting.
Not super interesting, but I will give them credit in that they didn't make it take too long, because this went by pretty quickly. Like, the task itself was not very long, and we got a lot more of, like, and it happened pretty early in the episode, to the point where I was like, oh, is that it? That's just the task. It's done. Mm-hmm. So, yes, not super interesting to watch people carry heavy satellites and put them in a line, but it was simple, and it didn't take too much time, because there was going to be a lot more implications of, because normally, like, the missions happen in the middle part of the episode and go pretty far into the end of the episode. And then the last like 5 or 10 minutes is just deciding who is Mish Crit and then who's going.
Yeah.
Whereas like the post challenge stuff was a lot more like important today. So at least they got it over with kind of quickly. And I will say, I like the graphics. I appreciate that they use graphics on the screen mm-hmm. to like, because again, how the hell would I be able to keep track of who is making better progress in lining up the satellites in the right order? And they had a little like graphic in the bottom where it was showing like where they were in like getting them set up, so you could see who was in the lead and stuff. I'm like, at least they're trying. Mm-hmm. I'm a visual person. I need to see some sort of indication of who's winning or losing, because otherwise, why do I care? What's going on? Just tell me who wins.
Yeah, I thought that also. I appreciated all of the shout outs to Blue's Clues. Got a lot of love today.
It's a big week for Blue's Clues.
With Blue sure getting Blue so many clues about
I think Mike Blue.
That was a great tweet. It took me a day to hit me. I'm like, oh yeah, like it's literally Blue's Clues. Yeah.
Blue's Clues. So this is the most I've heard about Blue's Clues in the last like 10 years at least.
Yeah.
There's lots of shouts.
What's that? do you see something? Okay. There's a female that has something.
No. Can you tell me how many bodies?
Yeah. Well, yes. The celestial bodies. How many are in the solar system? Too many. That's just my preference, though.
Too many to count.
Too many to count. Okay.
Oh, God.
So, we get the team. Ultimately, the Kat and Paul and Adam team ultimately is going to be the winner of the challenge. And they get to the rescue, and we see who it is. And it was a sort of out of focus William Shatner.
Yes, a blurry.
Blurry William Shatner.
Blurry shoddy daddy.
This occurred to me after I watched the scene. Was William Shatner wearing a spacesuit?
No, that was the thing. He was just wearing his leather jacket and his pants. And they were like, wait, now, why aren't you?
Yeah.
Can you breathe?
Yes. And we
bit
just
of a hole in the logic.
A little bit of a hole in the logic of like all season long. It was like, you can't go outside without your spacesuit on. We just dropped it for William Shatner. Couldn't we have like William Shatner's stunt double in the suit and then takes off the helmet to reveal like, shh, it's me.
The other
Shatty Daddy, I'm here.
In the flesh.
In the flesh.
One of the really funny things, and this is how I distinctly remember that he was not wearing a helmet, is when they pull up to him, there's like flies all over his face. Mm-hmm. Like they kept on like landing on his face.
It seems like it's very buggy out on the surface of Mars.
Yeah, I don't know how, for whatever reason, the bugs in Mars, yes, they're doing just fine.
Marshawn Lynch said there were hella roaches out here.
Yeah, which I who knew? There are flies, there's roaches, and all sorts of bugs in Mars. So
yeah.
And then they just put him in. I love when they get him into the rover because he's like, okay, Adam, I'm going to take your spot because Adam was in like shotgun. And then like, instead of sitting like a normal person in the rover, Shatty Daddy like kind of like reclines himself back with his legs hanging out the front of the rover.
Yeah. Again, 92.
Yeah, maybe he's just, that's easier on his bones, I guess, bones. To like not have to squeeze his.
Did you say bones? Yeah. All right. Anyway, so they get him back to the Hab and he's like holding court, Shatner.
Yeah. He's the true base commander. Like, you know, he does. And also he didn't have to do contamination.
No, he just walked in and then he's like, where's
he? He just walks in. Yeah.
And then he was like, like, I was like, I thought somebody passed gas.
He's never been here. He doesn't know all these noises.
He doesn't know how
but for whatever reason, doesn't need to be contaminated, doesn't need a suit. I don't understand, but.
Yeah, he even did for everybody, like they were lined up in like height order. He's like, thank you for lining up in height order for me.
Yes, he seemed, when they were in the like the decontamination part before he entered, he was like to Paul, he's like, you're much taller than I expected. And then turns to Adam, you're much smaller than I expected. Mm-hmm. And then turns to Kat and says, and you're just right. Like, it was true Goldilocks.
Yeah, I mean, he's really, I mean, forgetting for 92, like, he's pretty quick with it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he was burning people. Like, he was, you know, he was roasting. Yeah. Sting, like,
look, if they could get more Shatner in a, you know, Stars on Mars season two, like, I think that is definitely a win for the show. Yeah. Like, could they get him like living in the Hab, like, you know, out there on location rather than just like phoning it in? And not to say he phoned it in, but like, just like on Zoom,
he kind of did phone himself in,
yeah. Or even like, I don't even mind him being on Zoom, but like mixing it up a little bit more. So like, you know, that his transmission, like he can't like communicate with them one-on-one. Like even like if he was like on Zoom, like chopping it up with them a little bit, like, yes. I think that would be fun.
The interactions, because he's really good at feeding off of the things that they say and do.
Mm-hmm.
Let him cook, you know,
let him cook.
Like let the man cook.
Yeah. Okay.
Just forget Kat Cora. I want to see Shatty
Daddy
cook.
Right. All right. Jenny, you have to explain to me, and you do it so well.
Oh, no.
What was going on with the other three people? Of that there wasn't enough oxygen on the rover. They needed to camp. And then from camp, then they needed to send somebody back. And then there was enough oxygen that they could walk back.
It was so confusing. Okay. So, obviously, Team A wins. They are the ones with the strong satellite signal. They find Shatty. They rescue
Shatner
him.
Shatner did or the computer referred to him as Shatty Daddy also.
Shatty Daddy. Yes. Yeah, she said, welcome, Commander Galactic Legend, a.k.a. Shatty Daddy. Like, that's canon
me.
Now. Like, that's him. And so the other rover, because even though they were seconds behind, had a weak signal, and so they go into, like, a totally different direction. And then they run out of oxygen. I have a hair in my mouth. There we go.
Oh, no.
I don't know what happened. There was a, I was like, there was, I couldn't get through a sentence with it because it was going to get deep into my throat and we were going to have a real problem.
Oh my God.
Anyway, so they're low on oxygen and all of a sudden they're like, okay, well, you don't have enough. You're an hour and a half away from the HAB and your oxygen is depleting. So here's a capsule with enough oxygen to have you stay overnight. And the there's a supply pod that has essentials that are critical to survival. So it's a tent. And then they have, there's like cots. And so they had to like erect this tent, which apparently was they had erectile dysfunction for a little bit.
Yeah, Marsha's like, just give it a minute. Just give it a minute.
Yeah. Just give it a little talk.
Anyway. He didn't say that.
Sorry, I should not report things that are not just true. This is my journalistic integrity is on
wait.
The line
he said,
here.
Just wait.
just wait. So they finally get into the tent, which looked like one of those like
looked pretty cool.
I feel like I've talked about this before. They're like those like wine like these were really big in COVID lockdown times of like these clear like octagonal. Is that they like looked like you could have like a nice classy meal in there with some little twinkly lights.
Yeah,
you know?
I liked it. I'd like
it
that.
Was cool. Yeah. And so, but there were apparently roaches. I don't know if that was true, but Marshawn said there were hella roaches.
I believe him.
So then the story at this point is that they are going to stay overnight there. But then all of a sudden they get a transmission on like, they had like a little computer or like an iPad type thing. And then they get a transmission from Shatner that says, okay, terrible news. Actually, there's only enough oxygen for two of you to stay overnight here. So one of you has to make a mad dash back to the HAB tonight using the rover's single supplemental oxygen.
Okay.
And then and basically that person that heads back to the HAB is essentially mission critical and is safe from extraction.
Okay.
Then it's the remaining two that stay overnight in the tent that will face extraction by the crew in the morning. So they're basically told like, you're staying overnight here, and they don't explain to them what happens next. They just basically say like the remaining two will face extraction by the crew in the morning. The story was confusing.
Yeah, and I didn't think that there was that much fighting going on for basically like, okay, who's going to like take guaranteed immunity?
Right?
I was like, oh, Tinashe is like, I'll do it.
Well, so what I thought was, and this is why Marshawn is so confusing. Like, you have to know him to like know when he's kind of just like effing with you, because he's like, all right, I'm going, like, I'm the fat, like, you're going to go, Portia, like, I'm the fastest. I'm going to get there the fastest. And she's like, okay, well, Marshawn, you're going to go? And he's like, no, I'm not going to go. Mm-hmm. It's like he just went from saying, I'm like, oh, Marshawn's going to push for this. Like, he's going to say, I'm going to go. And then Portia's like, okay, so you're going to go? And he's like, no, are you going to go? You should go. And she said, hell no. And so these two are basically arguing about not going, which I'm like, going means you're safe. What do you mean you're arguing? And then, Marshawn says, no, I can't do it. And then turns to Tinashe and says, okay, Tinashe, go ahead, go get your tacos, which there's always this talk about tacos. Cause Marshawn was like, if I don't come back, you'll know I ate your tacos. I'm like,
I think they must have told him there was tacos at the HAB.
Like, it was Tuesday, I guess. Yeah. It was Taco Tuesday.
I'm beginning to think, methinks they might be lying about the rations at the HAB.
Right. Yeah. I think it was Taco Tuesday and they were getting ready for it. And so that might have been the one reason that Marshawn was
excited
to go back.
Turned out it was Tinashe Tuesday.
Yes, it was. And here's the thing. So finally Marshawn's like, Tinashe, you go ahead and get your tacos. She immediately gets up. She's like, all right, I didn't know the planets, because she was the MVP.
Yeah.
She was out. And I loved that, like, they acknowledged it. They're like, oh my God, I've never seen you get dressed so fast. Like, see you later. Like, as soon as they gave her the permission, she's like, peace.
Yeah. And then it was just Portia and Marshawn that got left. And then they made it seem like in the morning, like, they were just kind of like left for dead. And Portia's like, Marshawn, I think we could do this.
Yes. Again, I don't understand how they make this
decision. I think a producer was like, okay, now walk back.
Yeah. So, like, someone had to hip them off, because I think maybe at a certain point they're like, okay, yeah, actually, like, you have to figure out getting yourself back.
And Marshawn wanted to sleep in. He didn't want to go.
Yeah, because it started, the sun started to rise. Portia still looked perfect, which was baffling to me, because I was like, she must not have slept, right? Like, mm-hmm. Did she wear the helmet to bed so that, like, her makeup stayed perfect? I didn't understand how she could have slept and still looked that perfect. Oh,
that's a good trick for people who have to early wake-up calls, that do your makeup at nighttime, just put a helmet on, and then go to sleep.
Yes. Wear your space suit to bed, and everything will be perfect when you wake up. Mm-hmm. That's what I need to do if I have a morning podcast, I guess. I need to get a nice space helmet.
That's what I do.
But yeah, Portia's just like, okay, we're going to walk back. Like, let's just take the oxygen we have left. No one's coming to rescue us. To be fair, I don't know if they ever told them anyone was coming to rescue them. It was just very confusing.
Yeah.
But I thought, like, is something going to go wrong here, because they're kind of taking it upon themselves to just go back? And I, like, they didn't tell them to do that. But no, they just arrive and it's like, oh, crew incoming. I'm like, okay, I guess they were supposed to do that. Like, it's just very weird, like, narrative.
Mm-hmm. And they ultimately, they get back, and then there has to have a vote of, okay, who is Mish Crit out of Marshawn and Portia? And yeah, I thought this was, like, a little bit of, like, an interesting vote. Of course, I guess you had Adam and Tinashe, okay, you knew what they were going to vote for. They were going to vote to keep Portia. The vote that I thought was interesting was that I would have thought that Kat would have voted to keep Marshawn, but Kat voted to keep Portia. And it's sort of like, I have to, you know what? I have to do what is right for my, the person who is going to be, you know, good for the hab and picks.
It was
wild.
Okay. I understand it from, like, if she was paying attention to, like, what do I think, like, what I think is the most fair. Like, if I'm trying to, like, you know, answer this honestly. But we got all these confessionals about her being like, I
want to,
like,
win.
I'm going to do what's best for me. And, like, I'm going to make a hard decision on, like, what's going to benefit me.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay. Because at this point, it's two votes, Portia, one vote Marshawn, because Paul votes for Marshawn to stay, because he basically, like, who gives a shit about plants? This guy is going to keep me alive.
Yeah.
And then I say, Paul, none of you are dying at any point out here.
Right.
It's not going to happen, but okay. So, you know, it seemed like we were set up for Kat to tie it here, because she should, if she's trying to, you know, give herself the best chance of winning, even though they don't really know how you win this game. But if there's a strong three, and then her and Paul, and she feels like they've got Marshawn more, then I would think she'd be voting in a way to give the biggest chance of getting Portia out here. Now, there's only four of them. What would have happened, Rob, if Kat did say, I'm voting for Marshawn? Because
a couple of things, I guess. So one, is it possible that the tie break goes into, okay, well, it's tie vote. Now one of you is up for nomination. Like, is one of you is going to go home? Is
there,
like, some sort of, like, are you going to rock? So maybe that's a reason why Kat was like, I have to make the hard decision. And
can't risk it.
Yeah, I can't risk it. Maybe that's it. Or maybe Kat thinks,
should warn them.
If that would seem like a pretty big part of the show that they wouldn't tell us about. Or maybe number two, maybe Kat thinks that there is going to be some sort of, like, physical component to the final challenge, where maybe she thinks it's going to be like some sort of, like, tough as nails type final obstacle course that's going to determine the winner, and that maybe she felt like, okay, well, I can't beat Marshawn in this very physical final grueling leg of this, so I'm going to send Marshawn home.
Yeah, and to be fair, if that's what she's thinking, because again, we don't know, and I don't think they know how they get down to a winner after five. So, but if she's banking on, like, okay, we're going to get to a point where votes don't matter, or we're down to so few people that it's not about, like, votes, or I'm not even going to be in contention to be extracted if I win something. And if it becomes a truly, even though this was team still, if we're getting down to five, maybe it becomes more individual and it's like individual immunity. And she thinks, hey, I'm a tough lady and I have a better chance of winning something without Marshawn here. Mm-hmm. Then that would make sense. But we don't get any explanation from her about why that was what her decision was. We get so much of like, we get Tinashe being like, Kat, it seems like the kind of person that is going to like, try to win at all costs. And like, she's being built up as like this, like she, you know, she's going to do whatever it takes. And yeah. Why was this the decision? Because there's a lot of reasons I would think that maybe that wouldn't have been her decision. I would love to have gotten that explained to us.
Jenny, all right, let's talk it through now. Okay, so down to our final five. Next week is going to be the finale. And let's talk through who do we think is going to be the winner of Stars on Mars? Because we've talked about that the edit has been pretty even. I think that we can both agree the least likely person to be the brightest star in the galaxy is Paul. I would say almost no chance for Paul.
Paul, and I would be pissed.
It's not Paul. It's not Paul. Okay. But I do think that there is a reasonable argument to make for the other four people. You and I had most recently talked about, you know, the trio, Adam, Tinashe, Portia potentially being the winners, but we haven't really entertained the idea of Kat Cora being the winner. And I'm starting to think it's a very realistic possibility.
Especially now that, you know, we saw the preview for next week that makes it look like there is some. Now, I think we go from five to three. I think they made it sound like there's something they do first that reduces them from five to three. And then I'm guessing the three is like a final challenge because there was like some sort of thing like whoever gets their communications, blah, 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 first is the brightest star in the galaxy. So if Kat can get herself into a thing where there's only three of them left and there is some sort of like literal mission, I think she's got a really good chance, especially like depending on who she's next to. If there's a physical component, she seems pretty physical. So it's tough because I think that she definitely has a chance and we're getting so much material about her being in it to win it and you know, like her biggest problem up to this point being that like she came in late and didn't have alliances. But you know, if the story is that like at the very end alliances mean nothing and it's just about proving yourself, then like I can see the edit making sense that Kat wins, although I'm kind of like annoying if it's someone that comes in late.
Yeah. So I'm also trying to see if she has anything else coming up with Fox where, you know, not to say that there is any sort of like rigging going on, but, you know, I do feel like that the Fox is very much in like the network of cooking shows. And so I do think that that there could be potentially something that's going to be going on. I'm also seeing a trailer for The Real Dirty Dancing. Did that already happen?
Pardon? What the?
The Real Dirty Dancing? Is that a show that's already been on?
I've never heard of this in my entire life, Rob.
Yeah.
Is it like the Real Love Boat? Is that the thing we're taking like old media and then like turning it into a reality show?
That already aired. That was
show?
Yeah, but that, oh, okay. that we should have that was a
we missed that one, I guess.
Yes, it was in our Joe Millionaire days. Anyway, was Kat Cora on that? I don't know. Anyway, so I'm trying to think that I think Kat Cora is going to win this thing.
So that's your pick.
That's not my who I'm rooting for, but I'm trying to think that. Maybe that's why we've had such a, you know, the edgic might be a little bit off.
Yes. And I definitely can see that. It would make sense from a narrative perspective. And also, I just think that she seems pretty capable.
Right. I don't know if she's coming on for a deep dive with us.
No, probably not. I mean, I wasn't mean, but I don't think I was like.
We were upset with the Andy Richter thing.
Yeah,
Andy Richter. You know,
Andy was done dirty.
Yeah.
I think just to pick someone different, so that we have different choices here for our winner. I'm gonna say maybe Adam wins.
Okay. All right, we'll see. But Tinashe or Portia win very much in the realm of possibility. So there's some intrigue going into the final episode.
Here's the thing. I feel like Tinashe and Portia have been very, very solid throughout this. I actually noticed while realized while watching this episode that Tinashe is the only person left that has never been in the bottom three.
Mm-hmm.
Never been up for extraction. She's always been mission critical.
Always mission critical.
But if we get into a situation where it's like a race, mm-hmm. and it's a like, that might not matter. She might have been just doing really good all the time, but not good enough to beat somebody if it's like a physical competition or something. She's very small framed. I can't imagine how it is to do any of this stuff in those suits. I would be Ariel in the suit. I'd be falling over. I'd be tipping over.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be walking into walls. Like, I can't walk in my normal suit, my skin suit, you know? I take corners.
suit.
I take corners too sharp, Rob, like all the time. I'm constantly bumping my shoulder into things. Like, I have no concept of where I am and what I'm doing. Put me in that freaking suit. I am taking everyone out. I'm taking myself out. Like, I would probably be medically evacuated from mm-hmm. the show.
Okay. That we got to see a great send off to @MoneyLynch that on Twitter, you could follow him. He is @MoneyLynch. His Twitter bio
got a movie
is
coming out.
He has a movie coming out.
Yeah. Bottoms. Oh, like, yeah, that, I think it
yes.
comes out this Friday. I think maybe in the States, but I think it doesn't come out until next week in Canada.
His Twitter quote is simply, "I'm yo daddy."
That's what he said. This was in, so we had these little montages.
IYD.
Yes, that's what, so we had the montage of both Marshawn and Portia before the vote. It was nice. We got the little package of like, look at their journey. And there, and one of the things I noted from the montage, because I forgot about it, but it was really funny, was when the first week when Marshawn was our base commander, he goes, "I'm your IYD commander." And then they said, "What does that mean?" And he goes, "I'm yo daddy."
Mm.
So this is a thing he's taken. I don't know if this is something he said before mm-hmm. Stars on Mars, or if this is something he's taken away. And now
I think
it's
that's his catchphrase. And I think that he's brought
you
it to Mars.
So.
Yeah.
He's been saying that. I'm going to have to check into this after. And if you are a
William Shatner might adopt the
stand.
"I'm yo shatty daddy."
Shatty. Yes.
Okay. All right, Jenny.
Which I love for him.
Stars on Mars is going to be back with the finale next week. Mm-hmm. And we will be there to talk about who is the brightest star in the galaxy.
Yes. And, you know, I can't wait. I will say, I feel like, you know, we are the brightest stars in the Stars on Mars podcast. Galaxy.
Yes, the only people
it's
to podcast
empty
the
galaxy,
entire show.
But,
we're ready for yeah. our deep dives and post-game exit
Let's
press at the end of this thing. Of course, we could use your ratings and reviews. Go to robinswebsite.com/hit-or-quit-feed. Jenny and I will also be back on Monday night to recap the two-hour finale of Claim to Fame, which has gotten a little
and
more
Mari
attention.
Joining us.
Yes. Yes, Chappelle yeah. and Mari
really
joining
fun.
Us to talk about the finale of another game that could be anybody's win to have coming up on Monday. Jenny and I also got together to do The Slop on Monday. That's a patron exclusive show. And it was a real high point of the Big Brother season for me so far because we had so much fun going through everything
time.
On The Slop. If you love hearing from Jenny and I, you will not be disappointed with this week's edition of The Slop. Special shout out to Cassidy. She's mother to me. But not Cassidy from Survivor, joined us for some special games and some fun stories as well. So check that out over in the Patreon podcast feed. Too spicy for the main podcast feed.
Yeah, we got to put that behind the paywall.
Got to.
we get sloppy. Listen, I take it very seriously, Rob. Like, if I know that the point is to be sloppy, I'm bringing it. I will give the slop.
Yes.
And so I feel like it was extra sloppy last night in a good way.
For our hit or quit fans, we uncovered the link to the MILF Manor multiverse that might be uncovered. So much more. Sam, you were looking for a clip maybe from the slop. Maybe that's it. All right. Then, Jenny, what else is coming up for you?
Basically, you've said it. Just waiting to see the end of these two shows next week. And, you know, we're going to cruise into fall. And I don't know what's next for Hit or Quit. Is it buddy games? We buddy gaming? I've only seen the one commercial.
We got to check it out.
Terrible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think in the very least, we will see that coming because I think that premieres September 14th.
It seems like people are getting hit in the groin. So that's, you know. That's
love that. We love a good nut shot.
All right.
Anyway, on that note, follow me on social media at Jenny Autumn.
At Jenny Autumn.
We'll be back next week.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us for some Stars on Mars coverage. We'll see you after the finale next week on Hit or Quit. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.